KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Skies have cleared up a little bit. Some good sunshine now here this morning. Just 30 degrees, though, here at the KJAN studios. We look for partly cloudy skies with west winds at 15 to 30 miles per hour and a high of 52 today. Tonight, fair to partly cloudy. West winds at 5 to 10 and a low of 28. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with the check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. News being brought to you here this hour by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. In area news, a traffic stop on a motorcycle at around 7:45 a.m. on Friday in Red Oak escalated into a pursuit and the eventual arrest of a man from Pottawatomie County. Red Oak Police Chief Justin Ramey said in a statement that 27-year-old Dakota Allen Culbertson of Council Bluffs faces felony charges that include eluding, possession of stolen property, possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver, and criminal mischief in the third degree. Culbertson was also assessed a misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia charge. He's also wanted on a warrant out of Council Bluffs for theft in the second degree and on a narcotics warrant out of Nebraska. Culbertson was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on $50,000 cash bond. The incident leading to his arrest began when a Red Oak police officer saw a motorcycle in the area of 3rd and Knuckle Street. He observed the cycle run a stop sign at 3rd and Market Street and attempted to make a traffic stop. The operator of the cycle, later identified as Culbertson, failed to yield to law enforcement, traveled south on 2nd Street to Ohio Street, and then to Highway 48, where the pursuit continued southbound. Once in the area of Highway 48 and 130th Street in Page County, Culbertson took to the ditch and entered the yard of a residence in the 1200 block of Highway 48. Officers tried to get the motorcycle boxed in while it was still in the yard, but he managed to get the machine back onto Highway 48 and continue then northbound back towards the city of Red Oak. Red Oak Police and Montgomery County Sheriff's deputies tried to establish a rolling roadblock near 230th and Highway 48, but Culbertson was able to maneuver the cycle between two patrol cars in an effort to flee. Doing so, he sideswiped a Red Oak PD cruiser. The pursuit continued through the city of Red Oak near the edge of town at the intersection of Highways 48 and 34. The cycle then turned east on 34 to Q Avenue east of Stanton. There, Culbertson swung wide left about the same time a Red Oak police officer came up on his right. The cycle turned into the left front fender of the police cruiser, causing Culbertson to lose control. He then dumped the cycle into a ditch and took off southbound on foot. He ran toward an unoccupied residence at 2258 Q Avenue, forced his way into the home, and hid in a closet, and was ultimately taken into custody. During their investigation, officers learned the 2005 Yamaha Venture motorcycle had been reported stolen out of Council Bluffs on October 6th. Red Oak Police were assisted during that incident by the Montgomery, Adams, Page, and Fremont County Sheriff's Offices. KJAN News Time is 8:03.
From coughs and colds to managing chronic conditions, the Atlantic Medical Center is here to help you throughout your life. Our healthcare team includes board-certified doctors, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants who are ready to care for you and your loved ones. We're open 6 days a week, and we offer early morning, evening, and Saturday hours too. And for everyone outside of Atlantic, our team provides care at our clinics in Anita, Griswold, and Messina. Whether you need to schedule a well child exam or you're feeling under the weather, call us at 712-243-2850 to make an appointment. The Atlantic Medical Center is proud to be part of Cass County Health System, where we are neighbors, caring for neighbors.
In other news, Red Oak Police on this morning reported a man from Hastings was arrested overnight. 56-year-old Michael Robert Aguirre was taken into custody at around 11:34 p.m. Friday for public intoxication. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. Police in Council Bluffs report a masked man who allegedly used a baseball bat on October 5th to break out several windows at St. Peter's Church in Council Bluffs was arrested Friday morning. The church's security cameras captured the incidents and images of the suspect, 18-year-old Tate Pilger of Council Bluffs. Acting on a citizen's tip, detectives were able to identify the man, and an arrest warrant was issued. Pilger was booked into the Pottawatomie County Jail on one count of criminal mischief in the second degree, causing damage greater than $1,500 but less than $10,000, which is a Class D felony. If convicted, Pilger faces up to 5 years in prison and a $7,500 fine. The mask, bat, and clothing worn during the incident were recovered inside of Pilger's home. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa said on Friday that a Union County man was sentenced to prison on drug charges. 38-year-old Brandon Robert Fry of Creston appeared before U.S. Magistrate Judge Celeste Bremer in Des Moines and entered a guilty plea to possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine. He admitted he knowingly possessed over 500 grams of meth on June 4th of 2019, which was found by law enforcement in a white Mercedes in Creston. Fry admitted that prior to being arrested on June 4th, he had intended to distribute the methamphetamine. At the time of the offense, Fry was on federal supervised release for a prior conviction of felon in possession of a firearm. Pursuant to the plea agreement, Fry faces an agreed-upon sentence of 188 months in prison. He's also subject to at least 5 years of supervised release following the imprisonment. Sentencing is scheduled for February 24th at 9:30 a.m. at the U.S. Courthouse in Des Moines. The Adams County Sheriff's Office says three people faced burglary charges following an incident in Corning on Thursday. Deputies were called to a burglary in progress at around 5:40 p.m. in the 2000 block of Quincy Street in Corning. Following an investigation, they arrested 48-year-old Fred William Ehrman of Des Moines, 64-year-old Stanley Wayne Roberts of Corning, and 47-year-old Michelle Lynn Paradise of Des Moines for second-degree burglary. Authorities said Paradise was additionally held on a warrant for parole violation. While in custody, authorities say they found a loaded hypodermic needle with meth in her possession. She was subsequently charged with possession of methamphetamine and possession of drug paraphernalia. All three suspects were being held in the Adams County Jail. The Union County Sheriff's Office reports a pickup reported stolen from a man's garage in Creston at around 5 a.m. Thursday was located 3 miles east of town off of Highway 34. The 2019 Chevy Silverado had sustained an estimated $10,000 damage. No suspects were identified as of the latest report. Another lawsuit challenging the updated process for selecting Iowa Supreme Court justices and appeals court judges was heard in Polk County District Court on Friday. A judge dismissed the first lawsuit that claimed Republican lawmakers violated the Constitution when they gave the governor an additional appointment to the panel that nominates high court judges. That judge said lawyers and Democratic lawmakers didn't prove that they're adversely affected by the change. Attorney Bob Rush said the second lawsuit directly involves Thomas Duff, who applied to be an appeals court judge but wasn't chosen as a nominee in that process.
His injury is real. It is not an injury in general to the rest of the Iowa population. It's very unique to him as an individual now and in the future.
Assistant Attorney General David Ranch argued that doesn't prove Duff is adversely affected by the law.
Avoiding the law doesn't make Mr. Duff a judge. Restoring the commission, as Mr. Rush said, doesn't make Mr. Duff a nominee. Restoring the commission doesn't make Mr. Duff a judge.
The state is asking the Polk County judge to also dismiss the second lawsuit. The original legal challenge of the new law is expected to be heard by the Court of Appeals next month. More federal land is being opened up for fishing and hunting in Iowa as part of the Trump administration's move to make public land more accessible. Margaret Everson of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says 1.4 million acres were added to open areas this year, including at Neil Smith Wildlife Refuge east of Des Moines.
We've expanded 300 acres here for new opportunities for white-tailed deer, for example, for pheasants, being able to, again, open new areas that had not been opened before.
The Department of the Interior will also allow more big game hunting at DeSoto Bend in western Iowa. Ducks Unlimited CEO Adam Putnam says making that land accessible to the public promotes outdoor recreation and conservation.
Without that connection to the land, we're not going to have a strong base of support for protecting the environment going forward.
Federal officials say they're also trying to match state and federal regulations to encourage more hunting and fishing. And a former workers' compensation attorney for a Tyson Foods meatpacking division has filed a wrongful termination lawsuit in Iowa that accuses company officials of making anti-gay slurs, filing false information in workers' compensation cases, and discriminating based on sex and age. Todd Beresford filed the lawsuit October 1st in State District Court in Des Moines against Tyson Fresh Meats based in South Dakota and its parent Arkansas-based Tyson Foods, the nation's second largest meat processor. The suit seeks damages after his dismissal last year. Beresford argues he was fired in part because he complained the company was providing inaccurate information in workers' compensation cases in Iowa to deny payments to injured workers. He claims a former company vice president used slurs in referring to former Iowa Workers' Compensation Commissioner Chris Godfrey, who is gay. Beresford of the Cleveland area also claims Tyson discriminated against employees on the basis of sex and age by firing several middle-aged men in 2017 and 2018, replacing them with younger women. A Tyson spokesman declined to comment. Taking a look at world news headlines here this hour, the head of the Arab League is calling for Turkey to halt its military offensive in Syria and pull out its forces from the war-torn country. Ahmed Abul Gait has said Saturday that Turkey's military operation in northern Syria has resulted in a new wave of displacement and jeopardizes achievements made in fighting the Islamic State group. The Democratic presidential race is getting more jumbled and unpredictable. The deepening impeachment crisis surrounding President Donald Trump is combining with unpredictable developments among the leading Democrats have combined to shake things up. Frontrunners are facing urgent questions about their ability to take on Trump. Lower-tier candidates eager to challenge the top-tier trio are struggling to rise above the din in Washington. The Democratic presidential race is getting more jumbled there, as we mentioned. And also in other news, Santa Ana winds that drove fires through two Southern California areas have died down, but flames that destroyed dozens of homes continue to rage. A blaze in the San Fernando Valley area of Los Angeles was only 13% contained Saturday after destroying 13 buildings and damaging 18. One man who had tried to fight the blaze died of a heart attack. Eliud Kipchoge has become the first athlete to complete a marathon in less than 2 hours, although it will not count as a world record. A Olympic champion and world record holder from Kenya clocked 1 hour 59 minutes and 40 seconds in Vienna. The event was set up for the attempt. Kipchoge was supported by 36 pacemakers who accompanied him in alternating groups. That is one of the reasons the IAAF will not ratify the time as a record. That's a look at the news. We'll check funeral announcements next. News time is 8:12.
From coughs and colds to managing chronic conditions, the Atlantic Medical Center is here to help you throughout your life. Our healthcare team includes board-certified doctors, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants who are ready to care for you and your loved ones. We're open 6 days a week, and we offer early morning, evening, and Saturday hours, too. And for everyone outside of Atlantic, our team provides care at our clinics in Anita, Griswold, and Messina. Whether you need to schedule a well child exam or you're feeling under the weather, call us at 712-243-2850 to make an appointment. The Atlantic Medical Center is proud to be part of Cass County Health System, where we are neighbors, caring for neighbors.
In your funeral announcements, John Gayling, age 91, of Atlantic, died Monday at Westbridge Care and Rehab Center in Winterset. A massive Christian burial for John Gayling will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has the arrangements. Gail Earl Schnack, age 84, of Harlan, died October 3rd. A memorial service for Gail Schnack will be held Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Lester Schmitz, age 92, of Harlan, died Thursday at Elmcrest Retirement Community. A massive Christian burial for Lester Schmitz will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church in Portsmouth. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Iola B. Wilson, age 94, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Memorial services for Iola B. Wilson will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. in the First Evangelical Lutheran Church south of Wyota. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has the arrangements. Cecilia Kleffman, age 90, of Harlan, died Wednesday at Mertu Medical Center. A massive Christian burial for Cecilia Kleffman will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Jerry Shorty Gaskill, age 79, of Audubon, died on Friday at home. Funeral services for Jerry Shorty Gaskill will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Edith Larson, age 99, of Elkhorn, died Friday at Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Edith Larson will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn. OD Funeral Home in Elkhorn has arrangements. And Luca James Hodges, age 2.5 months of Anita, died Tuesday at Children's Hospital in Omaha. Funeral services for Luca Hodges will be held on Thursday at 1:30 p.m. at the Cam High School in Anita. Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. News brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.